Money Radio. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. It is a pleasure for me to welcome Ira Milstein. He is the author of a new book, The Activist Director, Lessons from the Boardroom and the Future of the Corporation, The Activist Director by Ira Milstein. Mr. Milstein, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. You have done some remarkable work over the years, counseling boards at major companies, General Motors, GE, American Express, Macy's, Drexel Burnham, Lambert, Westinghouse, and many others. You have been involved in this for quite some time, and you have been a leading authority on corporate governance, working with the firm of a senior partner at the international law firm of Weil, Gotshal, and Manges. What was it that stoked your interest in this particular level of law?
Well, originally I was an antitrust lawyer. I went from helping write a book on the subject with my then professor to spending some time in the antitrust division of the Department of Justice, and then practicing antitrust law when I came up here to Weil in 1951. So my belief is that you do need some sort of regulation with respect to corporate law and the way corporations behave, and that antitrust was the best there is, because antitrust, it really enforced competition in a free market, and that was what I believe in. I believe in the free market, and I believe that competition is good, and I was happy to be in the antitrust business, both in the government and out of the government. So in time, antitrust began to fade, and then it faded very quickly under the Reagan administration. Excuse me. And then at that point, I began to wonder, without antitrust, what's going to be a monitor of these corporations? How will we know that they're still willing to compete and that they're fighting hard with one another and that they're acting in their own best interest? And it was then I began to focus on the companies themselves and their own self-government and what they would do in the absence of antitrust controls and in a completely free market of regulation, which is what President Reagan was just, and I'm not complaining about President Reagan, I'm just stating a fact. That's what happened during the Reagan administration. Antitrust sort of went away, and a lot of regulations went away, and I sort of just drifted into this field of corporate governance, wondering how do corporations control themselves? What do they think about, and where is the center of activity? And it finally began to dawn on me, with my partners helping me and my learning a little bit more about the corporations, that the center of action for a corporation was the board of directors. And very simply, the law provides that the board of directors is in control of the corporation, appoints management to operate it, but basically is in control. And that's the law. And so that's how I started focusing on boards, to find out what they were doing.
And even though the boards are at the epicenter of the corporation, it doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It seems more as if they're sheep following on the fringe.
No, I really think that's the past view. That's the way it was when I entered the field. Directors were passive. Management was under control. And boards did very little to fire directors or fire management or change the status of the company or whatever. It was management that was under control. And that was what started to present a problem when stockholders looked and found out that was the case. And we entered the era of takeovers and so on. And at that point, stockholders began to flex their muscles. And that was the beginning of the corporate governance movement as such. There had always been complaints that boards weren't doing anything. As far back as in the 20s, Chief Justice Douglas, now then Chief Justice, complained about the fact. Now, what happened in the ensuing years is boards became more and more active under the prodding of shareholders. So today, you can't say that the boards are handpicked by management, or you can't say that they do nothing. That's not so. They do. They operate, they function, they are doing things. Now, they're not doing as much as I think they need to do, nor do I think they're really facing reality. And that's what the book is all about. I am saying, yes, we've come a long way, and boards are not entirely passive anymore, and they are flexing their muscles, and they are being prodded by shareholders, but they're not doing enough. And the enough is that we are in a period of short-termism forced on boards by the capital markets, which insist on short-term results. And therefore, we're foregoing a lot of growth and innovation, and I think that's a bad thing. So I started thinking about this book by thinking about what was happening in the country. And what was happening in the country was a focus on short-termism, which put pressures on boards to meet quarterly dividend and quarterly predictions, to buy back, et cetera, to keep their stock up, and unfortunately to forego some growth and innovation, and I thought that was a bad thing. So I wanted in the book to call attention to directors that the capital markets had changed from mom and pop to a lot of intermediaries who were out to feather their own nest in many cases rather than further the best interests of the corporation. That's why I wrote the book.
What do directors need to do to come up with the courage to manage longer term that CEOs may lack?
The first thing I'd like them to do is recognize where they are and what their power is. I think that a lot of directors are not totally aware of the fact that they're in control of the corporation and that strategy and tactics lie in their hands and that they can fire CEOs. And I wanted them to become aware of their power to change things. So that's the first thing I want them to be aware of. I want them to wake up to the fact that they are in control. Many of them don't understand how much in control they are. And in effect, what they have the power to do is balance the various interests of the shareholders. I mean, your shareholders are no longer uniform. Some want to go short term, some want to go shorter term, some may want to go a little long term. Now, how do you take care of all these shareholders? They're no longer a uniform group that's only interested in future growth. You got to balance it. All right, now how do you go about balancing it? Well, to balance it, you got to pay attention. You have to know the company. You have to be aware of your circumstances. You have to ask a lot of questions. And those are the directors I'm trying to wake up or find. I want directors who will let me put it this way. I want directors who know how to do the right thing. If they face a situation like VW, they say, don't do it. Or if they face a situation like Wells Fargo, they say, don't do it, because they can look at it and say, that's not the right thing. You don't want to fool your customers. That's a bad thing to do. And so I want directors who know right from wrong and will speak up when they see it. That's number one. Number two, I want directors who know the company and are willing to spend time knowing the companies. I don't want directors who just wear a directorship as a feather in their cap. I want directors who give a name about the company and really care and will spend the time learning. I want directors who'll talk to others in management. I want directors who'll speak up when they see management not doing what they think is right. I want directors who think about compensation and inequality and things like that. And I want directors who are thinking about the world in which we live. Directors who may be worried now that we're living in a time of great transition in the country, and it's causing a lot of concern, and they have to be aware of that. Now, it may sound like I'm talking about Superman, so what? That's the model I aspire to.
And yet, companies, don't they specifically seek directors who won't be the squeaky wheel and cause tension? Or if a director gets a reputation for being a squeaky wheel, may not find that they are being selected as directors moving forward? I mean, CEOs do tend to select directors that will support them, correct?
That's normally the case. That's why the director has got to have guts and has got to wake up to the fact that he has a responsibility which transcends just supporting the CEO who may be his friend and who may have picked him. I never said this is going to be easy, but that's what has to happen, because what you describe is unfortunately true in many cases. Now, there are directors and there are organizations which are trying to get directors to think differently about that. So I want to be one of those who say that's not good enough. We can't do that. If you stay in that direction, we're never going to get out of this mess of short-termism that we're in.
How do we get directors who will do that hard work? Is it really just a matter of paying them more?
Well, that's a very nice point, and one with which I agree. I agree that being a director of the type I want is a job. And it's a job which is not the CEO's job. It's not to run the company. It's not to operate the company. But it's a job to think about the company and strategize. And that requires all the items I just discussed a few minutes ago, paying attention, spending time, and all of that. That's a job. Now, in my opinion, they should be paid commensurate with the amount of time that they have to spend in it. And you know, to think about it in terms of $5 an hour, I mean, that's not the case. We want directors who will work in between the meetings, who will serve on committees, who will pay attention, and I would try to incentivize them to do that. Yes, I think they should be compensated for doing the job, and I think they should be compensated whenever they can demonstrate that they've gone long-term and that they're trying to change the direction of the company away from the short-term handcuffs they're in at the moment.
Where do we begin the search for the activist director?
This minute. Right now.
And because, where?
Where?
Yeah, where do we find them?
Where do we find them? You find them anywhere. I mean, it's the committee, the governance committee, has the responsibility to find them. I mean, this isn't like they don't exist. And my recommendation is that they interview when the governance committee decides that it needs another director or has to replace a director or whatever. They should interview the person as hard as they would a CEO. When they interview a CEO, they have an enormous list of questions and biographies they go through. Some even get experts to interview the CEO to make sure he has the right attitude and so on. Do the same vetting of a new director as you would the CEO that you're about to hire. It's just as important a job. One is to run the company and operate it. The other is to figure out where are we going. These are two important jobs, and they ought to be vetted heavily. And we do that. It isn't as though we don't do it with CEOs. We do. Why don't we do the same thing with our new directors? That's where it should begin. But it really has to begin by directors understanding what we're saying. And that's why I've written the book, and that's why I'm so pleased that you're having this program, because this is something I want the public to understand, but basically I want directors to understand. And the only way we're going to do that is to get the story out. So I hope the book gets out in the hands of every director and in the hands of everybody who can vote for a director, because shareholders should push for these kind of directors. It's in the shareholders' best interest that the company go long term. The shareholders who only care about the short term and want to play with it like it's a casino chip, I don't care much about them. They're there. I can't make them go away. But the shareholders who care about the future of the corporation should be pushing for this. So I think the job is to get the story out. And I appreciate you and others such as you who are letting me get the story out on your program that will get it out. We've just got to keep working at it.
Some interesting ideas and some very important ideas when it comes to corporate America. And the book is called The Activist Director, The Activist Director by Ira Milstein. Lessons from the Boardroom and the Future of the Corporation, The Activist Director by Ira Milstein, a super lawyer, I guess is probably the best way to describe his work over the years. We'll have more in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is Ira Milstein. He has written The Activist Director, Lessons from the Boardroom and the Future of the Corporation. You were talking just recently about the idea of representing the shareholders of the corporation. But who are the shareholders these days? You mentioned there are some people who are in it just for short term. There are others, though, who have a longer term view. And then there are some who, I think, get kind of lost in the hierarchy of mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, hedge funds, and much more. How do we identify what they're really looking for, and how do we represent shareholders?
Well, that's another really good question. And up at Columbia, a couple of years ago, in our center at Columbia, we tried to find out how to do just that. It's very difficult. We've developed some kind of an algorithmic program to get into the SEC documents to find out more about who the shareholders are. And you would be astonished at even the little bit that we were able to uncover. Because as fate would have it, today, these so-called institutions now control the bulk of the market. Yes, there's still mom and pop out there. We found that out. But what we did find out is that the mutual funds and their ilk really are the ones who control the market today. They have the bulk of it, and there are fewer and fewer of them holding more and more stock. It's becoming concentrated. So most big companies know who their shareholders are, not the mom and pops, obviously, although they have a record of it, but they know who they're. You can go to any company in the United States of any size, excuse the buzzing, any company of any size, and ask for who the top 20% of your shareholders. They know. They know who they are, and basically they'll be mutual funds or some dominant shareholder or so on. So you're right that the shareholders have changed. We do know basically what the scattering is. We do know basically that they're mutual funds. We do know that they're program traders who may be in for a minute or two or a second or two or a millisecond or two. And we do know that there are many, many others of that. And it's very hard to tell who's in it for what. I mean, when you have a hedge fund comes in, there are some hedge funds which are terrific. They are in to change management and make the company better, and that's fine. There are other hedge funds who are not in that game at all. They're much more in the game of quick hit, get in and get out and make a fortune and so on. How do you tell the difference? You tell me. But if you're sitting in the boardroom, those are things you have to think about. You do your best.
Is there a role for labor in the board of directors?
There are in some cases. I know, for example, from my experience, that at one point, and maybe still true, I don't know, it may be true that you ought to have a labor representative on the board, which GM did and which United States Steel is doing right now. And they want them on the board because labor, then the legacy costs of labor in these big companies is enormous. So you want to see how you can work out a fair arrangement with labor to reduce the legacy costs, make the company more competitive, and not kill the union, not kill the workers. So you put somebody on the board who really knows about labor. If you really need to do that, you should do that.
The subtitle of the book deals with the future of the corporation. A quick overview, what do you think is the future of the corporation?
The future of the corporation is that it's going to be a corporation, because the corporation is the main organizer of economic activity in the private sector. So there's got to be a corporation. And I think the future of the corporation will trend in my direction. I believe that. I believe that in time, it's developing now, they're becoming more responsible, they're going to be thinking more about the long term, and they're going to be thinking more about innovation and growth, because that's what it's all about. And they will be able to shake the shackles of the financial markets, which have pressured them into the short term. They've got to think about it and get out of there.
Ira Milstein, the activist director, lessons from the boardroom and the future of the corporation, the activist director, an important book, and maybe this can help further the discussion and the dialogue for the future of the corporation. Ira Milstein, it is a pleasure. I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and grateful to have the opportunity to get out and speak. Thanks again.